Sick mic, bro. Where are you?
I'm in Abu Dhabi.
In Abu Dhabi. What are you doing in Abu Dhabi?
I'm supporting Tiffany. She's doing the UAE tour of
Soigneur, I learned. A soigneur.
Women Cycling UAE Tour.
So cycling, so Formula One for cycling, sort of. They go around the world and have races everywhere. What they did in Australia is now in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it is like the world tour, like they race everywhere. So, and for me, this works well because we are testing in Bahrain next week. So, I'm in the same time zone, in the same climate for testing next week.
How was your day? Today we are 12 hours apart, so it's finally we don't have to
So,
think
but where are
about a
you?
lot. I'm in LA. I'm in Newport Beach, California, at my home. It's 6 a.m. It's
Home
very
sweet home.
dark. Home sweet home. It was Santa Ana winds. Have you ever heard of Santa Ana winds? Do you know what
I
Santa
have.
Ana? It's
Yes.
like a warm, deserty stuff that comes over. Like I was home for a full week, and probably 6 days of them, it was around 28, 29 degrees Celsius. So in almost the 90s of Fahrenheit. So Adelaide weather in Newport Beach, California in January and February. I'm very, very happy. But
Life.
what's very, very nice is also we have Adelaide is a bit like we both love Adelaide, and we even love McLaren Vale more. So South Australia is our most favorite place in the world, I would say, right?
I would say so, yeah. Even yours.
But it has
Wow,
one
that's a bit
flaw.
cool.
I've it grew on me, but there's one thing I don't like about Adelaide.
It's a bit
And
far.
it is the fact, yeah, it's a bit far, but also it has a half hour time difference to the rest of the world. It's one of the only places in the world where you don't have a full hour, you have a half hour. And that does, like, my brain, I'm too stupid for that. I'm gonna tell you. Like I can't, it just kills me.
I like it. I like it. Like when people ask like, well, what time should we have this call? I'm gonna say like, yeah, we can do it 5:30, which is 11 for you. They're like, huh? What? Yeah.
So you're educating people. They're learning something through you. Yeah, it's my brain is like I have limited brain capacity, so I have to look up every single thing in. I'm like the amount of times I Google time, LA time, whatever, to not miss an appointment. It's very, very easy now because for the first time in my life with you together, we are in a 12-hour time difference. So
Which
it's
is so easy. Yeah.
exactly, yeah. So we can say let's meet at 6, or we have a call at 7.
Yeah, for me it's better. Good thing you like to wake up early.
That's okay. No, I've, you know, the LA life.
Was gonna text you earlier. Could we do it at 4? But
No way.
no.
That's too much. And I would have slept
LA
anyway.
life. It's
Yeah.
good.
LA life is very, 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 very good, and it's very in the morning. So because I always go to bed at 9 p.m. So it's very different to your Adelaide life, where you constantly sleep till 9 a.m. When at least when I visited, both Tiffany and you are long sleep-in people.
Yeah, it's not only Adelaide life. It is everywhere we go. Like last night, we went to bed at midnight, woke up 9:30. It's our rhythm.
Okay. How was today? Was today a happy day? Was today.
Today was a happy day.
Why?
I was waiting for my bike. I lost it. Well, the airline or airport lost it at the connection. I was waiting for it for 2 days, and I got it today, this afternoon, at 2 p.m.
The last time we spoke, you went to Barcelona. I went home the next day. So you
Yes,
went cycling in Barcelona and then you took that bike.
I went home to Monaco for
Yeah,
one day,
yeah.
just to unpack, repack, and visit home. And I then took that bike to America because I went to Charlotte for simulator.
So you
All good.
flew around the
Well,
world again? How was that flight to Charlotte? Because
it's
I have your location. It's Sunday. It's very, very good fun because we now share a location. Do you ever, out of boredom, look where I am?
Sometimes, yeah. It's not like I'm stalking, but...
Because I do that... I do that a fair amount with you. It's very interesting. Yeah. Like, I'm living a bit of your life when we're not together, and it's very, very funny.
Like, if I'm about to call you or text you, I might check, like, you know. Then you kind of get an idea if he's busy or sleeping or... Yeah. Anyway.
And I wanted to check if you arrived into Charlotte, and you did not. What happened there?
Where did you find me?
In Atlanta, of all places. Yeah. Why?
Yeah, so in the morning of the flight was midday from Nice to London Heathrow and then to Charlotte. In the morning I learned the flight was cancelled from London to Charlotte because there was a snowstorm. Actually,
in Charlotte?
Pretty much all the flights were cancelled to Charlotte on that day. So yeah, okay. No worries. Managed to get a new flight by travel agent manager Paul Harris to Atlanta, which was the best option, I think. And then it was just a 4-hour drive from Atlanta to Charlotte, like late evening, night. So it ended up being just like a pretty, you know, easy trip for me from Europe to US to like, it felt like forever. And got to the hotel at just after 1 a.m., I think, on the following morning. And next day, early morning simulator, which was really productive, really good with the team. And then my travel from there to, again, via London to Abu Dhabi. But once I landed in Abu Dhabi, there was a big sign on the airport screens. Mr. Bottas, please come to the baggage desk opposite Carousel 8.
That's normally good news, right?
And that was after long travel, and that was at midnight. And I still had to, it was actually Dubai, sorry. So I still had to drive from Dubai with my local Escalade here to Abu Dhabi. Okay. So I knew, okay, this is going to be a long night.
After a long couple of days. So, but I have questions. So the bike was with you in Atlanta, or did you leave that in London? So you did all of this by yourself through a snowstorm? Like the night you just driven for a Finnish guy, that's probably normal. For us, that's a very special situation if there's snow on the street. How did you manage to not fall asleep in that night?
So actually the drive from Atlanta to Charlotte, I had a driver that was booked.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't driving myself, but it obviously is still, I actually prefer driving because I feel like the drives, they go faster because at least you're somehow focused. So, but yeah, you know. It's just one of those nights that it feels forever.
It reminds me a little bit of one time Tiffany, you and I were in Miami. And after Miami GP, we wanted to take our private plane. It was a bougie life to Aspen, Colorado, to spend some time in Aspen to actually shoot some great artistry photos. But the pilot told us, like, 1 hour in, came back and was like, hey, we have a bit of bad news. The airport is closed in Aspen because of too many winds or a storm or whatever. So we landed in Denver, Colorado, I think, and booked a driver because we thought... you were driving. It was the same day. It was like a Grand Prix day. So you were pretty exhausted. I was pretty exhausted. And Tiffany was pretty tired too. So we decided it's the right thing to book a professional driver that brings us these 3 hours into Aspen, especially because there's a bit of a snowstorm. And that driver, like for me, I at least once a month think of that drive, and I want to see like I want you to tell your, because like that was the single time I was the closest to death in my whole life, because he was insanely tired and kept falling asleep every 5 minutes, and we had to I remember this, like,
we kept talking.
First of all, yeah, we talked and talked and talked to keep him awake. And also our chat, like you and me, we kind of said goodbye to each other on our private, on the phones, you know, like how do you remember that?
Yeah, I do very well. It was not the most enjoyable nights. It was like middle of the night again. But I remember we talked to the driver, but we also had our chat on our phones that we were like, okay, you know, I think in the next 5 minutes, he's going to properly fall asleep. And that road from Denver to Aspen is like mountain passes and, you know, like up and down and blind corners. And yeah, we were like, this might be it. But we made it.
Obviously. We made it. We survived. And we went. I sometimes had this thought yesterday, like if aliens are real and they come and just select somebody like, for example, you, and say, okay, we want to learn something about humans. And then he sees you taking a bike through Adelaide. And at one point, like you're cycling. They think, yeah, but they have these other things, the cars. Why don't they take cars? But okay, he likes to cycle maybe. Then he takes a plane, packs his bike, goes around the world to Spain. To all of a sudden, he likes to drive a car. But he doesn't take that car. It's black. He takes it in circles a lot and drives not very far, but very fast for 3-4 days, constantly in circles in Barcelona. Then he takes another plane with his bike, lands somewhere else, drives another 4 hours through a snowstorm, and goes into a room that's simulating that a car is going in circles and is probably pretty dark, and goes 6 or 7 hours, I don't know how long you are in a sim, and simulates driving a car in circle, goes into another plane around the world again, and cycles in Abu Dhabi. What do you think that alien thinks of humankind if he sees your last 6 or 7 days?
That is a good question. I think the alien would think, what the hell are you doing? But, you know, I have this job, which is, it's weird. It's nice that you talked about it, because if you put the life in a big picture, in the end, my job is to drive around circles as fast as I can and to do other stuff for it with the team, travel the world to try and improve that. It's crazy, right? But I like it.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's very crazy.
But it's, the alien must have never felt the feeling you get in a Formula One car. So if the alien would get that feeling, maybe he would understand why I would go beyond all these things to do that. That's my argument.
How is the feeling? Because you're now, we've had a rough year last year. You had a couple of small days, let's say, where you were still doing the number one thing you love in life. Now the last week, you're back sort of, right? Like it's not a race yet. So the real back is in Melbourne, but you're back on the grid in testing. How, I mean, I'm aware everybody probably now asks you, how's the car, instead of, are you excited? But I still, like, we didn't talk properly about it. How was that first rush of adrenaline of going again?
It's awesome. I just love all about it. Like, yeah, you know me and you know how much I wanted it. So actually, you know, be there working with the team, for us actually to have a car there is amazing. But it's, for me, it's like, yeah, this is now, it's really cool. And I think I've said it before, but I appreciate it much more than I did before. So I'm definitely going to make the most out of it. But it's happening, it's real. What, now we're testing again next week, like I said. And living a dream, mate.
How is that camping life? Because I think the number one, you send me some pictures of you barbecuing in the, and it feels like almost a karting track, sort of. Like there is hospitality and stuff, no, it's not hospitality. It's like the technical stuff and everything. But you live in a camper, right? In things like Barcelona. So there's a motorhome, or like, is it a high-end camp? Do you have internet there?
I have a Starlink. So it's pretty high end, right? But it's, I in Europe, including testing, I prefer to stay in a motorhome instead of hotels. And yeah, you know, did a bit of barbecuing in the evening. You know, when there's time off, I can have my me time in the motorhome. It's beautiful. I can do my own food. Yeah, I really enjoy the camping, or some might say clamping.
And I heard you saved some internet connection problems in around, because like a lot of people, that's at least what I read in some sort of WhatsApp group. Is that true? You got to tell me what happened with the internet on Friday.
Yeah, I actually saved one morning of the testing when Checo was driving. That was Thursday last week. I think it was 1 hour before the session, the team's internet.
But all of teams, I think, right? And like all of Barcelona internet. Like they, I think there was a technical problem.
Did it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just heard rumors. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So internet went down, and yeah, the team needs internet even to run the car. To start the car, you need all the systems running, all the communication, stuff like that. And we figured out I have this Starlink with the Ethernet, with this, you know, external box that you can actually share it with a cable. So about 30 minutes before 9 o'clock, when the car was due to run, my VB Starlink is the name for the internet.
What's the password?
Went to the garage.
Don't tell it.
It's Valtteri Bottas, but with some numbers as well. And it saved the team. The car was out at 9 a.m., which is pretty cool.
So it worked?
It worked.
Congratulations to that.
Thank you. And we're not sponsored by Starlink. We just want to share the stories.
Yeah. Still proudly not sponsored our podcast over there. I'm coming to Bahrain. I'm flying on Sunday. I'm missing Super Bowl, as you are. Unfortunately, we're not watching Super Bowl, but I spent like 2 or 3 hours constantly on trying to book flights, because on race weekends I'm working for Mercedes. We talked about this. I'm the trackside content director of Mercedes this season. I'm trying to figure out storylines with the content team of my old employee, your employee, old employee too. But we don't have Paul Harris, because Paul Harris is our travel manager in Team VB, and he is very good in booking flights. And the Mercedes team obviously has travel booking, but I'm booking my flights on my own, which I deeply regretted, because I don't have the skills of Paul Harris. I struggled so hard to fly into Bahrain. It was the most it was so hard to book that. Like, it was incredible for me.
Why is it so hard?
I don't know. Bahrain is a weird place to fly into, and there's no direct flights from Los Angeles, so you got to fly either to Dubai or Qatar. And there is, at least, I think a lot of people fly also to London. We saw some Harrods shopping bags when we took Qatar Airways. I think a lot of people from Qatar or Abu Dhabi or Dubai fly into Europe, so the other flights are not really available. And I'm trying to find a good connection without 14 hours in Doha, for example, and I miserably failed. But at the very, very, very end, through some, like, I downloaded an app, and then somebody contacted me, and it was, I'm now on the right plane. It's mixed class too, so I'm allowed to fly business to Doha, and then it's an economy flight to Bahrain. So and it was a very, very deep down weird booking, and there is a possibility it's fraud. And I'm showing up on the airport on Sunday, and they say, no, we don't have you on the list over here. So if I'm coming, I'm coming. If
living on the edge.
Yeah, living on the edge. If it's working out, it might not. Yeah.
I can tell you from my experience this week, it's a long flight from US to, you know, these countries here close to UAE. It's a long way.
What do you do all? Like, because you spend probably four of the last 5 days in planes.
Yes, pretty much I did. I tried to sleep with the right schedule in mind where I'm going to. So trying to always bit of planning that I can be at my best to where I get to. And so yeah, sleeping as much as I can. But then movies, thank God, again, speaking of internet, many planes, they have pretty good Starlink. Still not sponsored, but it helps the time to pass because, you know, with your phone, when you get lost in the internet, suddenly 2 hours is gone, you know, which is not great, but on flights, it actually helps. But yeah, and try to be useful. Try to sometimes look at my emails, depending messages, stuff like that. But sometimes it gets to the point, as you know, that it just feels long. I didn't actually finish my story about the bike. So
yeah, that's what I wanted to come back. What happened to the bike?
So,
yeah. Sorry, podcasting. That's the news of podcasting. You, as a Finnish guy who doesn't like to talk a lot, you kind of take turns and you end up in a different place. And now you come back to it. The rules of podcasting.
Sorry. Coming back. So I landed. Saw the name. Please visit the baggage claimed thing. And went there and there was a queue of about 1 hour of people. There was no way to do it online.
On the baggage thing.
And that this was at, I started at midnight after long travel. Anyway, got to the desk in the end. They said, yes, your bicycle is still in London Heathrow. It will arrive on the flight tomorrow morning, landing at 8 a.m. I was like, okay, that's not too bad because I'm not going to ride before that anyway because I'm landing late. I'm going to sleep late. So yeah, in the morning, I was like, my bike must be here very soon. And I kept checking the website and there was no update of the delivery. I tried to call numbers that I could find. Some numbers didn't work. Some numbers wouldn't pick up at all. Anyway, like from midday till afternoon, every now and then I was checking outside the hotel, like, maybe that van, you know, maybe that's my bike.
like a kid on Christmas. Is this Santa?
Yeah, and this was yesterday. But then eventually I was like, okay, maybe I can squeeze in a quick run and gym while I wet my bike. I did that, went back checking, nothing. I became friends with the concierge at the hotel because I kept asking and they were like, you know, what's going on? And then in the end, I had a deal with them that when the bike gets here immediately, they're going to send me a message on my WhatsApp. I gave my WhatsApp number and they even tested it. And I was like, yeah, okay, now I can kind of relax and it's going to come this afternoon. Then I can do like a sunset ride or something. No, it didn't come at all yesterday. Then finally, late last night, I got a message. Yeah, the bike will be delivered tomorrow morning between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. on the website. And okay, I take that. Then I can, you know, go for a ride and stuff. And Tiffany went to her bike race at the team left 10:45. From 10:45 until 1, I was waiting outside the hotel. Outside. For my bike. Because I didn't want to miss this guy. And in the end, the bike arrived at 2 p.m. Mm. And it was, like I said, it was a happy day. Like, yeah, I managed to squeeze in a quick ride before some meetings with the team. And there we go.
You really like your bike.
You know, I was like 5 days without riding. So I was getting withdrawals.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I don't like, maybe in the future we talk about you bringing a bike to Charlotte. Doesn't make, because like that bike was in Barcelona and could have gone very easily from Barcelona to Dubai and sit cleaned and serviced in the room you will arrive into Abu Dhabi.
How it would have gone to Dubai from Barcelona?
There's logistics, there is... Yeah. Hmm. You think it's safer to bring it with you to Charlotte?
It's cheaper for sure. You know, sending something from Europe to UAE is shipping. Yeah. I think it could take time. And It can be like, I don't know, $1,000 for, you know.
Yeah, one day. I mean, we have a lot of listeners of our podcast of What's Next. So first of all, we need some sort of a name for the community. So What's Nexter or What's Nexties, the Nexties is something. So I'm pretty sure one of our Nexties would be volunteering to fly your bike from Barcelona into Abu Dhabi for the next time. Because like a human needs to fly with the bike, then it's cheap, correct?
Yes, but not if you need to book a new ticket for a new human.
Okay. It's getting complicated. I understand. And but still, I think it's a bit funny that you're getting outside of a snowstorm in Atlanta and there at least is a driver, but he says like, what is this insanely huge box? And you say, yeah, I just bring it with me, you know?
It's just my travel buddy. You know?
It is your travel buddy. I'm getting daily emails.
When do you get to Bahrain, actually?
Monday evening. And it's my birthday on Tuesday. So are you free on Tuesday? Should we do something and maybe a workout for my birthday?
Birthday workout, yes. So we have a filming day on track on Monday. And Tuesday, I think I've already got a couple of meetings in the evening.
You also have on Tuesday, we might meet at the, you have a filming on Tuesday, I think. The collateral.
Oh, the F1 stuff.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't they film that in Bahrain?
I don't know the day yet. Yeah.
Like the intro.
You might know more than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birthday workout. Maybe a track run.
Yeah. Maybe. Can you? I don't think. I have been to Bahrain once. There was. Yeah. No. That was good. But I mean, I'm there all week. So I don't, for now, I don't know where I'm staying. So we need to figure out how the distances are and everything. But I wanted to talk about one last topic with you before we end this half hour episode. And it's the shirts. First of all, we never talked about the shirts on our nice little podcast. So
you mean the VB World Tour,
correct,
shirts
in two versions of it. So what happened was there's a young woman from Finland who likes to design stuff, and you've come across her multiple times, right? Because she's kind of following you and she's designing different mullet graphic designs and stuff like that, correct?
Yes, Meri Hyvärinen is her name. It's maryhoof.art, okay, or something like this. Yeah,
she's very good. I like her stuff a lot, and you do too. And we just she designed like a tour T-shirt or something, right? Like something that like a music band would normally, the Metallica World Tour or something. And that was like with all the stops of the F1 stops of 2026.
Yes, very cool. When I saw it first, I was like, wow, that sketch is nice. And you thought the same. So we thought, let's make T-shirts.
Correct. So we did I did run a fashion brand called Paris the last 7 days. So I have some expertise in creating products. So we used my last kind of thing, producing in Turkey, bringing it to Germany and shipping it out of Germany. We are bringing some stuff to the US because I also have a company here in the US where I live, so I can ship the American orders out of the US after we produce them. So we had that figured out, but we could not. I don't have a company in Australia, and Australia, like, the moment you produce in Euroland is how it's called, like in European thing, and then the Australian dollar is not really great, and you ship that to Australia and send it from Australia, the shirt is like $200 Australian, which makes no sense. So we had to go for, okay, Australia unfortunately has to pay one, the European price, and second has to pay the shipping, which was ridiculous. Like they charged me, I think, €50 to ship from Germany to Australia. And it was pretty bad. I was aware of that, but I didn't have a solution. And all of it, by the way, we made it a pre-order, so 8 to 10 weeks. The art, like what people are buying, is a pre-order. Like, it says pre-order as the first word of the product. Every day, I'm getting at least 10 mails these days where people are very angry and very short, like, where is my shirt? They're yelling at me in the emails. I'm always very politely replying, we're producing it, which is what we're doing. Right now, we are producing it. It will be ready in like 1-2 weeks, the European version of it. And then we ship it out from Germany or the US, where we have to ship it over as well. So it's going to be another 6 to maximum 8 weeks. What we did promise, 8 to 10 weeks delivery time when we sold the article. So everybody who bought the shirt, European version, must have read the product text, or maybe not. If not, it will be there soon, but not now. And our friends from Otterboy came, your friends came around and talk me through the Australian shirt of it and how the shirts are and where we are. Because, like, I imagine him getting emails to, where is my shirt? And we need to clear that.
Yeah, so, like you said, there was many complaints about the shipping, which is understandable when it comes to Australia.
Yep.
But, yeah, we found a link, which is the Attaboy Barbers in South Australia, in Adelaide. And Robbie, he runs this company, and he does merch as well. So I thought, like, yeah, maybe he could help. We asked the question, and he said, yeah, no worries, mate. let's do it. So we made it the same shirt in Australian colors with all the different sizes, and made a quick video while I was doing my hair and put it out there. And in a few days, it was almost 3,000 shirts, right?
Yeah.
Ordered
just from Australia only.
And yeah, exactly. And this one is going to be faster. Like, people will have them before Melbourne Grand Prix, I think.
Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong, but it's going to be pretty epic seeing so many of these shirts. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Attaboyhair.com.au, I think. You can find the shirt.
We're going to put the link in the description. Yeah, the Australian shirt we're making on sort of blank, so we found good white t-shirts and we are just printing them as we speak, or Robbie is printing them and sending them out to be there pre-Australian Grand Prix. The European ones are like, they have the Paris cut, so they also have labels and everything. Like, it's a very special, it's not on blanks, it's not merch, it's a fashion statement. Yeah. So like, they are made and produced by cotton out of Turkey and stuff, so we need a little bit more time for them, but the European version will also be around Australian GP in the hands, depending on where it goes to.
But the shirts, they look sick. Like, I'm going to wear it all the time.
I'm so much looking forward. And the Australian version is also, and that's interesting because you know what happened? Like, first, all of Australia was screaming very, very loud after we released a shirt that's not really, really available in Australia. So, like, it was available, but it was very, very expensive and didn't make any sense. And not, like, the costs were not for us. It was, like, shipping and duties and whatever. So, understandable. Yeah. Australia screams, what about me? And then we do an Australian shirt that has a bit of different colors. And you know what happens now? All the rest of the world screams, what about me? I want the Australian shirt. So I'm getting screamed at a lot in my emails and Insta DMs. So please don't scream. We're just trying to solve something. We're just trying to make you happy. I'm sorry.
We're trying, you know, in life. Sorry, we can't please everybody, but we're trying step by step.
Very step by step. Next week, we record another episode. Our YouTube is out. I have bad news for the very last thing of this podcast. Do you remember our last YouTube episode where I showed my mobile office where I can write down a couple of things, let's say?
Of course I do. And this is now lost, if I'm correct.
Yeah. And you didn't find it in Monaco.
I didn't.
My friends in London didn't find it in London or in UK.
It still could be in Monaco.
No. I double checked with somebody who takes care of the place in Monaco, and he looked probably 8 hours in every single corner in all of Monaco. So it's not there. So now the option, it's a super easy task. So it could be in the car to the airport in Nice. It could be at Nice airport. It could be in Amsterdam airport. It could be in London Heathrow. It could be in Doha, Qatar, or it could be in the transport, in the truck of Adelaide, Australia.
Yeah.
Or we just say goodbye to my office. Maybe we say,
based on that, I would just say goodbye.
And that's a great ending
Paul
for this.
Leave something somewhere.
Yeah, it's weird, right? I never.
Yeah, it's weird. Normally, you never leave anything. You never forget anything.
No, I'm a very tidy person who always knows where my stuff is. Right, Tiffany?
Yeah.
Yes. See you next week, my brother. Looking forward to reunite.
Bahrain.
What's next?
We can record stuff over there.
Yeah.